Welcome to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently studying Luke chapter 7 in a series called Encounter. No matter what walk of life you come from, I'm sure that you can remember the first time that you had met Jesus. Whether at a church service and hearing about him, or searching for answers on your own and finding him, I'm sure there have been moments where Jesus met you right where you were. In this series, we look at a few encounters that Jesus had with people and what happens to their lives as a result. Feel free to open your Bibles to Luke 7 as we hear from Pastor Nate in this series, Encounter.
The Pharisee is the reason Jesus was in this situation. We're told that this Pharisee, this guy, invited him into his house for dinner. Which, when we look at the text before, when we look at the section before, it's totally weird and confusing that the Pharisee would invite him over, right? We've got this guy that had hated on Jesus. All the Pharisees hated on Jesus. And now he's invited him over for dinner. And we really have no reason, or we're not told the reason he invited Jesus over. All we know is that Jesus shows up. But the Pharisee in this text is the intended target for Jesus, right? He's the intended target. He's the dude that said, hey, Jesus, would you come over for my house for dinner? Now, the Pharisees, to understand who they were, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They knew the scriptures. In fact, it was common for the Pharisees to have the first five books of the Bible memorized. I think the first five books of the Bible completely memorized. Like they could, like you would say, like, oh yeah, what does Exodus 31 verse 17 say? And they'd be like, oh, it says this. And you're like, what? Why do you know that? They knew the whole first five books of the Bible. They also knew the law of God. In other words, they knew what you needed to do and not do in order to please God. They were looked at by other people as the holiest people of the day. That when a Pharisee walked in the room, everybody acknowledged them. They were like the celebrities of their day. And this guy invites Jesus over. And we don't know this guy's intentions for inviting Jesus over, but nothing really happened for him while Jesus was in his house, right? The Pharisee, the saint, invites him over, and this whole encounter happens, and really, other than him getting kind of rebuked by Jesus, nothing happens for this guy. Jesus spends all his time hanging out with the second character, and that's the sinner, this unnamed woman who just showed up at the party. She wasn't invited. Like, how weird is that? Like, here they are having this nice dinner. They're talking, the Pharisee with Jesus. And all of a sudden, this well-known sinner shows up and just, like, breaks into the party. She wasn't invited. And you can tell that the people were awkward and embarrassed that she was there. They're like, don't you know who she is? Ooh. And you're letting her touch you? Ooh. Because we're told that she was a sinner. Now, the crazy thing about this is the Pharisee has a name, right? His name was Simon. The sinner, she's not given a name. We know one thing about her. She was a sinner. Think about that for a moment. Her life was defined by what she had done. Her life, all they care to say about this woman is, ooh, she is a sinner. Now, the thing is we all fall under that category. We're all sinners. But wouldn't it be horrible if everywhere you went, like you had to introduce yourself as a sin that you struggle with? Like, hi, my name's, I lie all the time. Like, it's like, what? What are you saying? Like, that would be horrible to be defined by what you had done. And this woman, she's defined by her sin, but she shows up with a purpose because she came to meet Jesus. Maybe she heard about his power. Maybe she heard about the love and compassion he had on people. Whatever she had heard about Jesus caused her to have a desire to come in and meet him because she knew that an encounter with him could potentially change something about her life. She knew who she was, and she knew what she needed. She was aware of her sinfulness, and she knew that Jesus could change all of that. Listen, if we want to have an impactful encounter with Jesus, we need to recognize who we are and our need for him. When we're aware of our own sinfulness, and we're honest with who we are and what we're lacking, we'll see our need for Jesus. The problem is oftentimes that we don't recognize our need for him and we're unwilling to adjust when we are in need. But because Jesus can't give us what we need if we don't admit our need for him. That's the problem with so many people, is they won't recognize their need for Jesus. Maybe they're convinced they're not really that sinful. I don't really sin. I'm not that bad. I'm not like them. It's like, no, you don't understand. Like this woman, it doesn't say what her sin was. All it said was that she was a sinner. Doesn't matter what you've done. The matter of the fact is, if you've sinned, you are a sinner. It's just the way it goes. And until we recognize our need for Jesus and we come to him with an attitude that says, God, I'm aware of who I am. Like, I've lived with me for all these years. I know my struggles. I know my doubts. I know my sinfulness. I'm aware of my problem. Until we come to God with that attitude, we will never have a lasting encounter with him. So many people, they come to Jesus just because it's something to do. They come to church just because, I don't know why, they just come. Without an awareness of who they're meeting with, without an awareness of what he can do in their life if they're aware of who he is. The sinner had a powerful encounter with Jesus. The Pharisee watched. He watched God work, but missed out on it in his own life because he wasn't aware of what he needed. He showed up. He was at the dinner party too, but nothing happened for him. He showed up and nothing impactful changed in his life because he watched while God worked. Listen, don't watch while God works in other people's lives. Let him work in your life. Come with an awareness and say, God, I want you to work in my heart. I recognize my need for you. I recognize my own doubts, my own sin, my own failures. I need you. Come with an awareness and let God work in your life. She came aware of her sin. As a result, Jesus addressed it. The second thing we need to have in our heart to have an encounter is humility. When you're humble, God can show you honor. Humility. It's interesting what this lady does when she meets Jesus and the humility involved for her to do what she did. We're told three things that she does. First, we're told that she washed his feet. Now, specifically, we're told that she washed his feet with her tears. Now, this idea of washing somebody's feet in their culture was a sign of honor. In their time, their roads were made of dirt, and they wore sandals, and as a result, their feet got dirty. Like, that makes total sense. And so it was common for the host of the house to ask the guest if he would want water to wash their feet. And what that would do, it would comfort them. Because it's like, got all the dirt off your feet. Like, have you noticed, like, when your feet cool down, you begin to cool down? Like, you take shoes and socks first thing to go when you're hot, right? No, just me? Okay, anyways. That's why we wear flip-flops all the time in Florida. Anyways, wash the feet. It's comfortable, but also, it was a sign of honor. It was showed that they were honored into their home. They're welcome in their home. I honor you. I'm glad that you're here. And so they would wash their feet. And this woman, she washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She was so humbled in his presence that she wept and wiped his feet. The second thing we're told is that she kissed his feet. While she was washing him, she kissed his feet. It was common when a guest entered a house that you would greet that person with a kiss. Probably something on the cheek. And what it was a sign of peace and of friendship. You shut up, and it was this sign that you're like, I'm so glad that you're here. It's a high five of their day. It was something that was, there was a friendship involved. There was a recognition, like, I'm glad you're here, and you're welcome here. And the woman, while she knelt at Jesus' feet, she continued to kiss his feet. And then the third thing we're told is that she anointed his feet. This was uncommon. And what usually they did was they would anoint the guest's head with oil. It was really rare, probably not at all, that somebody would anoint their feet with oil. It was usually somebody's head. And it was a sign of respect. It was a sign of recognition and honoring this person. But this woman, because of her humility, was bowed before Jesus and she anointed his feet. And all of these things that she did was the Pharisee's job to do when Jesus entered the house. And Jesus even calls him out on it. Look at verse 46. He said, or verse 45, 44, my bad. He says, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. He's like, I'm the guest here and you gave me no water for my feet. And he says, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. He says, you gave me no kiss. There's no friendship here. There was no, hey, how you doing? There was no friendship. He says, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. He says, you didn't anoint my head with oil. There was no respect. There was no honor when I walked in the house. But this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. The Pharisee didn't honor Jesus, but this woman humbled herself and gave great honor to him. Listen, when she encountered Jesus, she was humbled and she worshiped him. And humility is the key to an impactful encounter. We need awareness of who we are, but humility allows us to recognize that Jesus has what we need. It's one thing to know you need something. It's another thing to know where you need to go to get what you need, right? It's one thing like, man, I'm hungry. It's another thing to say like, I know what I want for lunch. I never know what I want for lunch. Like, I'll like drive around forever and decide, I'll just wait till dinner. Like, it's one thing to be hungry. It's another thing to know what you need and where to go to get what you need. And when we humble ourselves before God, he can give us what we need. James chapter 4, verse 10 says it like this. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. Humble yourself. Lower yourself before God. And when you lower yourself, God will raise you up. In order to go up, we need to humble ourselves before God. This is worship and total surrender to him. This is saying, God, you're in control. You have what I need. I don't have it, but you have it. Many people encounter Jesus and are unwilling to humble themselves before him. Maybe they don't want to give something up, or they don't want to admit their need, but we will miss out on what God wants to do in our lives if we don't humble ourselves before him. And this woman, she shows up on purpose. She knows that I'm going to interrupt this dinner party because Jesus is there. I know my sinfulness, but the Savior is here, and I need an encounter with him. And so she shows up. But when she gets there, she recognizes that not only is he there and not only is she in need, but he has what she needs. And so she comes with humility, bowing herself before Jesus and saying, listen, you have what I need. The third thing we need in our hearts to have an impactful encounter is submission. When you submit, God can save. When you submit, God can save. The most powerful moment in this story is when Jesus forgives her of her sins, which is no doubt the reason that she came, right? If everybody knew she was the sinner, I'm sure word had gotten around that everybody knew that she was the sinner. And she recognized her own sinfulness. Maybe she was tired of the life she was living. Maybe she was miserable in her sin. Maybe she was frustrated with that she wasn't going anywhere with her life. Whatever the case, she showed up to Jesus with a reason, and most likely it was to receive forgiveness from him. But did you notice the forgiveness didn't come until way after she worshiped him? It wasn't forgiveness first, and because you gave me what I wanted, I will worship. Isn't that how we are so often? Like, give me what I want, and then I will be nice to you. Give me what I need, and then I will, you know, continue this friendship. Parents, give me what I ask for. Give me the money, whatever I need, and then I will do what you ask me to do. And she shows up, and it wasn't forgiveness first, worship second. It was worship, even though she had no idea how this encounter was going to go. I bet there was a little anticipation that she would get kicked out of the party. She'd be like, stop, what are you doing? Go away. I mean, that's what I would expect, right? She shows up unannounced. She starts kissing his feet, anointing his feet. And Jesus, like, trying to have a conversation, have dinner. And, like, she's kind of interrupting. Like, this is kind of weird. But Jesus, he doesn't do that. But there's probably a little anticipation or expectation. I have no idea what's going to happen. But she worshiped Jesus having no idea what was going to happen. She worshiped not knowing the future because of it, and because of it, she received forgiveness. It was total submission to whatever happened and whatever God had for her. Listen, this is so important. If we want to have an impactful encounter with Jesus, we must submit to whatever he has for us, even when we don't know what he has for us. The problem that so many people have, the reason they don't have lasting encounters with Jesus, and what I mean by a lasting encounter is maybe for a season of their life, their walk with God, maybe for a portion of their life, they pay attention to God, maybe for whatever they have a moment where they're like, oh yeah, church is cool, and then something happens and they decide it's not cool anymore. And the reason is because there wasn't a lasting encounter. There wasn't something that caused them to go, do you know what? This is for real. I need to surrender my life to God because he has plans for me. He's got a purpose for me, and because he loves me. And in order for us to have that lasting encounter, we need to make sure that we come and recognize that whatever he has for us is what I need. Even when we have no idea what it is he's going to give us. We often come to God with what we want him to do for us, right? That's usually how our prayers go. Our prayers are a lot of requests about I. God, could you help me with this? God, could you do this? Maybe it's the future we see for ourselves. God, would you help me get to this destination, this school, or this career, or whatever? Maybe it's the relationship we think we should have. God, would you bring this person into my life so that we can have this relationship? Maybe it's the situation in life we think we should walk through or shouldn't walk through. God, I shouldn't be going through this. I don't deserve this. I shouldn't have this. But when we come to God, we have to come submitted and ready for him to give to us whatever he has for us. Knowing that what he has may be different than what we want, but believing that it's what he has is best. Is it making sense? We're coming to God and saying, God, I don't just want this thing that I think I want. I want to have relationship with you. I'm submitted to you and whatever you have for me. This woman, she shows up and she's like, I know I need forgiveness. I'm aware of my sin. I know that Jesus has what I need to receive the forgiveness, but I don't know if he's going to give it, but I'm going to worship in faith that he's going to give me what I need. We have to be willing to worship in faith for what he will do in our future. You don't know what he's going to do, but that doesn't mean we don't worship now. There's times where we got to recognize, I don't know what God's doing in my life. I don't understand why this is happening. I think I should be here, but for whatever reason, it seems my life is going over there. Whatever's going on, we got to worship God in faith for our future. This woman, she shows up. She knows Jesus has what she needs, but she's also aware of whatever he has for her, she knows is better than what she thinks she needs. Maybe she came for a different reason. Maybe it wasn't forgiveness that she came for. Maybe she left disappointed. Oh, it's just forgiveness? Like, ugh. I was hoping for like some money or something. But ultimately, what she was given was way better than whatever she could have thought she would have received. I mean, read it again. He says, I say to you, her sins, which are many, Jesus recognized, like, this girl's got some issues, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. She came aware of her issues. She knew that Jesus had what she needed, but she also came submitted to whatever it is that she was going to receive from him. And Jesus, because he loved her, he gave her the one thing that she needed, and that was forgiveness. And because that, she could leave that place with her head held high, knowing, I'm no longer just defined as some nameless sinner. I am defined by who I am in Christ. The Bible says, when you come into relationship with him, the old things have passed away, and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're no longer defined by that. Whatever your failures were, whatever your struggles were, whatever your doubts were, that's not who you are anymore. What Jesus has made you now, that's who you are. Jesus has called you something different. And she came in a nameless sinner and she left saved because of this encounter with Jesus. But the reason she had such an impactful encounter, the reason it actually makes a difference, was because of the attitude that she came in with. And this is the whole point of the message. This is what I want to express to you. You need to have the right attitude when you approach Jesus, because when you approach him the right way, he will give to you what you need. The right attitude. What does that look like? Well, it's aware. It's aware that I don't have what it takes. I'm sinful. I fall short of God's glory. I'm never going to measure up. I'm never going to do what it takes. I'm aware of that. But we don't just live in aware. It's really easy to get to aware, right? We just spend a day like, am I sinful? Like, wow, that didn't last very long. Yeah, I'm super sinful. We don't live in aware. Once we are aware, then we come to Jesus and recognize our need for him. We say, he has what I need. It's this humility. God, you have what I need. That's a good place to live. Humility. At the feet of Jesus saying, you have everything that I need, Jesus. You have what I need. And in our humility, we can receive what he wants to give to us. He wants to pour out the blessings for us. But we got to worship in faith even when we don't know our future. To have an impactful encounter with Jesus, it's a heart thing. The wrong attitude can cause us to miss out on what he truly has for us. But if we come trusting in Jesus and we recognize that whatever he has is what we need, and we come with awareness and humility and submission, we will have an impactful encounter with him.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio. Before we go, here's Nate with his wife Hannah on how we can put this into practice.
So I love in today's message, I love this story of this woman at right. really crashing a party. The Pharisee invites Jesus over. She shows up really having no idea whether she's going to be able to stay or not. And she immediately falls to the feet of Jesus, begins to wash his feet, really just be in his presence. And we talked about in the message about humility and how humility, because of, you know, really we see the humility in her. Because of her humility, she experienced the fullness of what Jesus wanted to give to her. Ultimately, that was forgiveness of sins. Why is it and how important is humility when it comes to receiving what God wants to give to us?
Wow, that's a huge part of the Bible too. The Bible talks all the time about the difference, the contrast of the proud and the humble. Yeah. And I think the major reason why our humility is so important is because Christ was humble.
Right.
Jesus Christ, our ultimate example, was humble. He didn't exalt himself. This woman washing his feet in the story, Jesus washed his own disciples' feet.
That's right.
And as Christians, we're supposed to be working to be more like Christ. Mm-hmm. So God can't be forgiving someone or placing blessings upon someone who's viewing themselves higher than God viewed himself. Mm. And so I think that's the key reason why the Lord wants to bless those who are humble, because his son was humble here on earth. And you see all throughout scripture, example after example of God looking at the humble mm-hmm. and wanting to do big things through
right.
them. And that's just part of who God is he can do anything through anyone. And he's looking for the humble because he wants to exalt them.
Right. And pride so often, what it does is it lifts us up. Mm-hmm. And what happens is our own pride puts a ceiling on how high we can be lifted
right.
up. But humility, it's the opposite. It brings mm-hmm. us down low. We bring ourselves as low as we possibly can. Say, God, you're in charge. And what happens is then God lifts us up, and there's no ceiling, there's no limit to how high God can lift us up. And so we got to understand, as the Bible says, that God resists the proud, mm-hmm. but he gives grace, he lifts up the humble. And so when we humble ourselves, then God can in return lift us up and give to us exactly what he wants to give to us. Thanks so much to listening. This series has been Encounter, a part of Middle Ground Radio. I'm Nate Gallagher with my wife, Hannah. And I want to let you know, you can follow Hannah on Instagram at Hurricane Fiji. That's Hurricane BEE. G-E-E. And follow her. Check out all the stuff she's got going on. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. See all the things that God's doing in our life together, in the ministry here at Calvary Vero. Thank you so much for being a part of it. And continue to listen to Middle Ground Radio. God bless.
Listening to Middle Ground Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you and your relationship with Christ. If you would like to hear more from Pastor Nate, check him out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow him on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.